Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our catechism focus for this week is the third commandment. As you have it on the back of your service folder, as we have it in our catechism, you shall sanctify the day of rest. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred, and gladly hear and learn it. Now, Luther's explanation of the third commandment is short and sweet and blessedly to the point and easy to understand. But how do we get from the language of the commandment itself to the explanation of it? That requires some explanation. And so we'll spend a little time on it this evening. First of all, why does the Catechism say day of rest instead of Sabbath day, as it is in Exodus 20? In Exodus it reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or it could just as well be translated, remember to sanctify the Sabbath day. Now, Luther knew how to use the word Sabbath. He used it in his German translation of Exodus chapter 20, but in his catechism, he didn't put the word Sabbath, he put the word Feiertag, which means festival day or holy day or holiday. Well, why did he do that, use a different word in the catechism? It's a helpful reminder that there is a difference between the Old Testament command and the New Testament observance. There's an explanation of the commandment right there in Exodus chapter 20. It goes on, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or sanctified it. The seventh day in Jewish reckoning, as you know, was Saturday. And according to their calendar, their Saturday began on our Friday at sunset and ended on our Saturday at sunset. During that time, the Israelites were to do no regular work at all. Housework, career work, farm work, nothing. This was also part of the Old Testament Sabbath command. God says in Exodus 31, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. The civil punishment in the law of Moses in Israel for breaking that ceremonial law of the Sabbath day was death. Maybe that jars your memory a little bit about the law of Moses. It includes 3 different kinds of law. Civil law, prescribing punishments for certain crimes. Ceremonial law, prescribing the ceremonies the Israelites had to observe, which included everything from the Sabbath day to the sacrifices to the many special festivals they were required to attend, to the clothes they wore, to the food they ate. Now, the civil and the ceremonial laws were only for the people of Israel until the coming of Christ. Then there's that third kind of law, the moral law, the commandments that taught right and wrong for all people of all time. Well, what kind of law is the third commandment? Well, Moses already told us that in part in Exodus 31. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Now, the old covenant, or the Old Testament, was between God and Israel. The new covenant, or the New Testament, is for all nations. The Sabbath law itself, like circumcision, like all the kosher laws, like all the temple sacrifices, was a ceremonial law detailing one of the many ceremonies Israel was to observe until the Christ came. So if there's any doubt that the Sabbath law as such has no part in Christ's New Testament, you know what St. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 2. Let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So the Sabbath law, the part requiring no work to be done on Saturday, was pure ceremonial law. And the punishment for breaking it was outlined in the civil law, neither of which applies in the New Testament. Thank goodness, or the death penalty would be the penalty for anyone who worked on the Sabbath day today. But there is also moral law found in the third commandment, which is why we're even talking about it here today, because the moral law does still apply to us and to all people as it reveals God's holy will for all people of all time. What was the moral law included in the third commandment? In Leviticus 23, it mentions something else that was to be part of the Sabbath day. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, or a sacred assembly. The people were to gather together for a holy purpose, a sacred purpose, to assemble around the ministry of the priests, to hear God's word, to observe the temple rituals, and to pray, praise, and give thanks to the Lord. That's why there were special sacrifices for the Sabbath day and a special psalm assigned for the Sabbath day, Psalm 92. That's why synagogues sprang up all over Israel after the Babylonian captivity, where Jesus himself regularly attended. Why? To hear the word of God, both read and preached. That's how Luther got to his blessedly simple explanation in the Catechism: you shall sanctify the day of rest. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Notice it's preaching and his word, the preaching done by God's ministers, whom he has sent to read his word and to preach and teach and explain it to his dear people. Reading and studying the Bible at home is excellent and necessary as part of what it means to keep this commandment, but to despise the gathering together around the preaching of the word, around the ministry of the word and sacraments, is still to break the commandment. So we have a moral command from God not to despise preaching and his word. To put it in a positive way, God still commands us to come together regularly as Christians around the ministry of the word, to hear his word, to use his sacraments, to encourage one another as fellow Christians, and to pray. And of course, to do it all gladly from the heart, not begrudgingly, to do it with true devotion to God and reverence for his word. As he says through the prophet Isaiah, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Or as Paul writes to the Colossians, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, when should we do all this? In the New Testament, there is no set day or time. Sunday has not replaced Saturday as the new Sabbath day on which no one is to do any work or else be put to death. The church early on, where possible, started gathering on Sunday, even as Paul told the Corinthians in the lesson you heard tonight, on the first day of the week, set aside a sum. On that first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, is when the church had started to gather already in the time of the apostles, because the people needed a day, needed a time, needed to know when to set aside to come together. And also, of course, because Easter Sunday is always commemorated every time the church gathers, especially around preaching and the sacrament. And it was also helpful early on to have a different day than the Jewish Saturday, to make it clear that we Christians are heirs of the New Testament, not of the old. They still met on Saturday for a while, but eventually it moved to Sunday. But today is Wednesday, and still here we are sanctifying the day of rest by setting aside this time to come together around the ministry of the Word. It isn't the day of the week that matters, but our love for and devotion to God's Word. Now, as with all the other commandments, the third commandment, in revealing to us the attitude and the behavior that God demands of us with regard to His Word, the third commandment accuses us all of our sins against God. It shows us how perfectly devoted God commands us to be to preaching and His Word, and so it lays bare all of our sinful negligence, our distractedness, our half-hearted worship, our love for other things, even the most trivial of things, anything that pushes preaching and God's Word to the back burner or out the door. And so the third commandment, like the rest, shows us our sin and threatens God's wrath on all who have failed to show perfect devotion to God's Word and the holy ministry of it. So repent and trust in Christ, whose perfect devotion to God's Word and whose flawless worship will be counted to all who trust in Him. Remember, Sabbath means rest, and it was part of the ceremonial law which pointed to Christ, the rest giver, who did all the work Himself, so that now we, by trusting in Him, should rest from trying to earn God's favor, rest from thinking we have to pay for our own sins, rest in the wounds and in the righteousness of the Redeemer. To teach us to trust in Christ and rest from our works, that was the chief purpose of the Sabbath day all along. As the writer to the Hebrews also explains, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Only then, as you rest in Christ by faith and know God's love and forgiveness and acceptance for Christ's sake, let the third commandment also guide you as God's dear children, children of the New Testament in Christ's blood, to truly hold God's word sacred and to gladly hear and learn it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.